Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco. If you are an adult age 21 and older and use nicotine or tobacco, I want to tell you about Black Buffalo's award-winning nicotine pouches. What are they made of? Cured edible green leaves, food-grade ingredients, and pharmaceutical-grade nicotine. No tobacco leaf or stem. So if you're 21 and older, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. You can order nicotine pouches online, and they ship directly to most states. Or check out their store locator to purchase pouches at thousands of retail locations around the country. Black Buffalo Tobacco Alternative. Bold flavor, full pouches.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Yo, what's up, everyone? Welcome in. It is Wednesday, and we are doing a Wednesday Snaps today because we are joined by one of our favorite guests, and that is the host of, much to my chagrin, the number one mid-market local morning sports talk radio show, Mac and Cube. That's Greg McElroy. You see him on ESPN all over the place. He does about 7,000 college football podcasts. I mean, if you're listening to the show, the man needs no introduction. Greg, what's up, man? Thank you so much for joining us this Wednesday.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me, man. Y'all doing all right?
Doing well. Yeah. And by the way, my morning show, number 9 on that list. Okay. If we could just figure out a way to get over the fucking party animals.
You're not getting a top 5. What are you doing?
Chill out. We started at 13, then we went to 10. Now we're at 9. Okay. Hopefully we get top 5. One day I'm coming for that Mac and Cube crown.
I love it. But bring it on. We're open. We're open for competition. Well, you and Cole can go head up in the trenches, and I'll just sit back and feel protected. We'll be in good shape. We'll be fine.
We were wondering about that. If we did like a 2v2 fight, me and Hester versus you and Cole, who do you think's winning?
I think Cole's a little over the hill. I like Hester. I mean, Hester's obviously, you know, probably the most athletic of the bunch. I'm not sure we're saying a whole lot there.
Jake has the classic, like, look, you might beat me. Like, my old man had this in spades. Like, you might beat me, but you better make sure I'm fucking dead.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, like, I'm going to keep coming.
Killer. Sure. Like, it's funny because he's super nice. And, you know, I remember playing against him, like, oh, I hate that guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can hate that guy. But then you got to get to know him. It's like, all right, I love that guy. You know, I want to hate him. I just can't. You know, it has to be too good to do.
All right. So look, we got a ton to get today. A lot of quarterback talk going to be on today's episode. We'll discuss quarterback draft rankings. Obviously some early Kalen DeBoer and Alabama returns. We can get some Ohio State quarterback play as well. Aaron, what's up, man? Welcome to you as well.
Hey, hello. I always love it with two QBs in the room. Greg was a brand new father first third time, little 3-week old. So everyone in the chat, give a little round of applause.
Yes, get it. Bam.
We're in the grinder, we're making it. I don't know about y'all. Like, you have both have multiple children. Like, the first one is just rocks your world. It's like, all right, this is insane. This is so hard. Second one, all right, we kind of figured it out a little bit. Like, it's not, I thought everyone's saying go from 1 to 2 is hard. No, 1 to 2 is a breeze. Like, 0 to 1 is an absolute eye opener.
Yes.
This one's been pretty easy so far, but so you're tired, but you're used to it. You know, like, you're always tired as a parent.
Yeah, it's like you're it's no different than lifting weights, right? I mean, like you've got those muscles built up now at this point. I thought 2 to 3, I'm with you. I thought that was actually the easiest like raw transition. My wife did not agree with me, but breastfeeding's a total.
I'm opposite thing, you. I thought 1 to 2 was more difficult because it's man to man now. You know, there's no more like you got him in the morning, I'm gonna go play golf, I got him in the afternoon, you do your thing. Now it's like, okay, you got him for the day, you got her for the day, and ready, break, I'll see you at dinner. And so there's less like, you know, you time. It's always someone's being pampered, someone's having to focus on someone. So we're done.
But no, but the thing is though, it's like to Greg's point, 0 to 1, you just feel so out of your depth. I mean, like the stuff that used to stress me out, I look back on and I laugh like, oh, you 100%. Sweet summer child. Mm-hmm. You thought you knew, but you had no idea. Aaron, can I get a mic check from you real quick? I'm not 100%. Maybe I'm being paranoid again. Also, I got to say, boys,
good call.
One thing I also learned in, you know, having these children, at first I was freaked out by some of the changes that a woman's body goes through. But kid number 3, whoo, boys, I love them big milkers. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it reminds me of that old, movie? It was a Paul Rudd movie, but it's an old, I think it's Jordan Peele. He has a line. He's like, hey, baby, oh, you look great, baby. When the belly starts to show, that's when the titties start to grow. And I found myself feeling very,
I wonder why T-Bob is at number 9 and Greg's at number 1 when it comes to local radio shows, when it comes to sports talk. Just throw it out there.
Whatever. Okay, let's get into some football, baby. I want to start with Alabama, Greg. I feel like it's a fine place to start. I feel like all the early returns on Kalen DeBoer have been exceedingly positive, which you could be cynical about and be like, yeah, it's spring, everybody's positive. But I look at DeBoer's resume. He's got the most flawless resume of pretty much any head coach you will ever find. He obviously now has a machine that he has taken over that has more talent and more advantages than any he has ever been in charge of. And I watched that spring game, dude, and I came away pretty damn impressed. Mm-hmm. A lot of pad popping. I feel like I'm seeing an Alabama team that's going to be built maybe on the ground first, and then DeBoer continuing to develop Milroe. Out of spring, very general question here. Are you more or less bullish than you were on the Tide going into this spring portion of the season?
Well, I would say probably slightly more. I agree with you with the identity. It's always so hard, and I don't know if you guys do this. Like, I've fallen victim in the past. Been doing this for a while now. But I've fallen victim in the past, oh, man, dude, they can run the ball. Mm-hmm. Like, man, they're pounding it. Like, their receivers are unbelievable. And what you don't realize is that maybe that their secondary is a liability. Or maybe their defensive line isn't as good, and maybe the offensive line looks good because the defensive line they're going against isn't great, which is a huge concern, right? But I actually came away knowing that they were without some key pieces that are difference makers. Mm-hmm. One at the defensive line spot in Jaheim Otis, one at the second level in Jihad Campbell. Like, being without those two guys is going to be a challenge. And they were able to run the ball really well. Like, I know they're like guard to guard. They feel great about their personnel. And they get tackle. They feel pretty good. Yeah. With Elijah Pritchett and the progress he's made. So those were the big question marks. And the other thing I was trying to figure out is like, all right, you lose Dallas Turner, you lose Chris Braswell. Mm-hmm. The year before that, you lose Will Anderson. Like, you've lost a lot on the edges of the defense the last couple of years. They feel really good about their edge guys. Now, they're all going to have different roles more than likely, so you probably see more than what you saw last year where it's like, all right, well, Dallas can stop the run. Dallas can rush the passer. Dallas can get off on obvious passing downs. Like, he can do everything. So you might see 3 guys filling that one void, but they all feel pretty good about the roles that those guys will carve out for themselves. So I think the staff is excellent, like you talked about. I mean, he's never had access to resources like this. Whether it's NIL resources or facility resources. Shoot, dude, the guy back in the day was making sandwiches for his team for a pregame meal when he was at Sioux Falls. So he's never
got it out of the mud, dude. Same way Saban did back in the day.
Yeah, I mean, peanut butter and jelly, piece of cake, right? But either way, man, I mean, like, this guy is the real deal. Like, his attention to detail, his willingness to delegate. And I think the players, too, in a good way, like, there was this – anxiety that was always created in the locker room, like this fear of, all right, if I don't play well today, I'm getting replaced. You know what I mean? Like, and that was to me what I needed. Like, I needed that fear of failure, that looking over your shoulder, that sense of discomfort. But I don't know if the modern player likes that as much, knowing the options available to them. So that has softened over time. But now with Kalen DeBoer, there's no anxiety. Like, these guys feel loved. They feel taken care of. They feel all these things. So I think the Saban-DeBoer transition has been beautiful too, because he's kept a lot of the things that Saban has used in success and didn't go in and say, this is my team, this is my program, we're doing it my way. Like, you know, and that's a delicate thing too. So his ego or lack thereof and being willing to bring in the Saban parts into what he does has been huge too. So I'm super bullish on the Tide this year. But I already was. I just am even more empowered in the bullishness now.
Yeah.
Where do you see Milroe grow the most? I mean, are you anticipating a I wouldn't say Michael Penix-like season from him. I think the offense will be more of a still run first offensive line, something that maybe he didn't have as much success consistently with at Washington a year ago. But can he lean on that passing attack with Milroe and maybe some new weapons on the outside?
Well, there's going to be a lot of new weapons on the outside. We know that. They're going to likely be without Jalen Hale, who got injured in one of the scrimmages a couple weeks back. So that's very disappointing. But they feel good about the speed that they have at wide receiver and the versatility that they have at wide receiver. Like, at Washington, guys had specific roles. You know, it's like, all right, you're a slot, you're an X, you're a flanker, let's go. Like, that's what guys were. At Bama, and I think Coach Saban's recruited to this, he wanted pieces, and it really started 6 or 7 years ago. Like, everyone's interchangeable. Like, on one particular play, this guy could be playing Z, the next play's in the slot, the next play's in the backfield and motioning out, the next play's at X. I mean, guys are just kind of all over the place. So they want to be able to create mismatches with all their receivers at all different places. So they've done that intentionally, but that's a little different than what Kalen has done in the past at Washington and at Fresno prior to that. So that, I think, has been an adjustment. But with where Milroe's at right now in the spring game, it's hard to get a gauge. They were rotating so much. I mean, like, Aaron, I couldn't imagine. Well, I can because I lived it, but I remember how challenging it was when we're running the ball great for three series and I throw one pass in three series, and then all of a sudden there's a third and nine and I got to hit it to extend the drive on an important pitch. I hadn't thrown the ball in 30 minutes. You know, it's like, it's hard to get into a rhythm as a passer like that. And that was kind of how, and T-Bob, you know that too. I mean, Les viewed throwing the football as a sign of weakness.
He used to say there are only three things that can happen and two of them are bad. What's it saying? I'm like, okay, yeah, that kind of explains it all right.
100%. So I think that it was tough to get a gauge on his progress in the spring game because it was just intermittent and he would be in for a series and started nicely and then he'd sit out for a while and then he'd go in and they didn't get much going. It was hard to get a gauge, but I think they're pleased with his growth. Obviously continuing to hone in on the accuracy, the footwork, letting your feet talk to you, all those things are parts of his game that he's trying to progress in. But they continue to go back to, man, what makes you different? Like, what makes you special? Like, it's great that you want to prove to everyone how great a passer you are. That's awesome. Like, we want that for you too. Like, we want you to be an NFL quarterback and to be a guy that's selected in the first round, to be a game changer. And your progress, we hope that it mirrors what it was like for Lamar Jackson at Louisville, where early in his career as a runner and just got better and better and better as a thrower, became a first-round pick, and now is a multi-time MVP. So they want that for his progression, but don't abandon what makes you very difficult to defend, and that's the use of your legs. So quarterback run game, take off if it's not there. I think that's something they're still trying to make sure that he does and focuses on, because that's what makes him crazy elusive and very difficult to handle.
Hey, Greg, let me jump in real quick with the quarterback. So, like, last year I had the LSU spring game, and I remember the coaching staff kind of telling us before the game, like, we put Jaden in very uncomfortable situations for him. You know, we scripted practice so that he would do the things that he's not good at. Like you and I have been in this situation. We go to spring practice. We go to practice. We get the script. We're like, okay, that's a touchdown. That's a touchdown. Hey, Bobo, change this. Hey, change this. Like I want to walk away from practice feeling good about myself. They wanted him to be a little bit uncomfortable. And they said from the first game to or first practice to the last practice in the spring game, just huge strides. So talking with the staff, did they maybe put him in unique situations to force him to become a better passer or at least work on things to elevate that part of his game?
I think, it just depends a little bit on the staff. Like yeah. Coach Saban always scripted, at least when I was there, in favor of the defense. So every situation we were in was uncomfortable. Yep. It's like, all right, we do half line pass. It's like there's four DBs and two wide receivers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, all right, find a guy that's open. It's like, there's four DBs against two receivers. Mm-hmm. Like we can't win that battle. Mm-hmm. So we do things like that. And I think that with this staff, it's a little bit more balanced with how they tilt the deck, just a hair towards the offense. Not that the defense is playing at a disadvantage, but I think they definitely want, because so much of playing quarterback is confidence.
Yep.
So if you're not confident in your own abilities, if you're not confident in what you can do, like you're not going to be as good as you can possibly be. Mm-hmm. So I think they've probably tried to simulate some difficult situations, but with Jalen, a difficult situation is when he's wearing a non-contact jersey, because I mean, that's just not the player. You put him in a live situation, like he's a better player no matter what, because he's probably the most dangerous guy on the field with the ball in his hand. So I think that's something that they're going to have to continue to kind of iron out. I mean, you're never going to make your quarterbacks live. That's just foolish. But at the same time, I think making sure that yes, his development as a passer is of the highest priority. You don't want the focus on that to lead to slower decision-making in the fall, where he's sitting back there like, I got to throw it. That's what we did all spring. That's what we did all summer. No, just take off and go. Yeah. So I think it's a delicate balance for sure.
Okay. So, and you don't have to expound like very long on this, Greg, if you feel like you've already answered it, but is Jalen Milroe unquestionably the guy going into fall?
Okay. Yeah, okay. I think so. I mean, there's buzz about, you know, Ty Simpson and the staff loves him. And I think all that is true. You can love the guy that's competing with the guy while acknowledging that the guy is the guy for a reason, you know, and
that's one of my favorite sentences I've ever heard.
You know what I mean? Like, how many times do you see the guy in a 20 word sentence? But it's true. And I think you would, there's a sensitivity too, that if they came in and just like, all right, well, everyone's slate is clean. Like, that's not true. Everyone tries to say that. And I think they mean it at certain positions, but there's just too much sweat equity that's built up for Jalen over the course of his 13 starts last year to even think about or entertain the idea of someone else getting another shot at it. So no, I don't think there's any question that he's the guy going into the season. Now, in the event in which he doesn't play well, you gotta stay sharp. And if you're not playing well, then everyone doesn't matter if you won a Heisman Trophy the year before, you run the risk of being replaced if you don't play well. But I liken it to a scenario, and it's not exactly the same, but I liken it to a scenario like, okay, Caleb Williams against Spencer Rattler a couple of years ago. Like Spencer Rattler was like, you know, God's gift to football coming into that season and played his way out of the starting role. So and he was amazing the year before and played well in times the year before that. So I don't ever see a scenario where a guy that has played really well and has won a lot of games gets replaced because of meritocracy. Like this guy played better in practice. He's now ahead of him. That's not happening. Mm-hmm. Like this guy played good in games. The games from the year before matter. So I think it's Jalen's show for sure. And they wouldn't even, I don't even think they'd consider anything like that unless for whatever reason he didn't play well.
Yeah, well, but, and then we also saw too how the team responded when he wasn't the guy when they played USF as well, and I think that's part of it too. Like, who does the team believe in? The guy that's played the majority of snaps, the guy that won us an SEC championship last year. So I think the coach kind of knows the voice of the team also.
Well, I think the narrative too is because we saw Washington and Kalen DeBoer in particular as a head coach. We've only seen him win with one style of quarterback. That style of quarterback has been a traditional dropback. Now, Penix, did he have mobility? Yeah. Early in his career, that's who he was. I mean, he was a great runner. They did a ton of dime quarterback runs for him at Indiana. And then at Washington, he, of course, became a dropback guy that's going to push it down the field. Even before that, when he was at Fresno, it was really dropback passing game. That was what they were, and quick and short and intermediate passing game. So I think people already think like, well, Jalen's a great runner. So is it, you know, and maybe he's still progressing as a passer. And I think he's progressed nicely in those areas. So I think people just think, well, this is how Kalen does it. So he's going to find someone that maybe plays like Penix or plays like what they had at Fresno. I don't think that's true. I think Kalen can do it a lot of different ways, and he's going to design the offense and cater the offense to Jalen's skill set. So it might look different than it did at Washington, but it doesn't mean it won't be effective.
Greg, let's switch off of Alabama here. I look at, you know, title favorites, right? Obviously Georgia's one. I'd still have Alabama up there. But Ohio State seems to be the first contender, right? The top challenger, if you will. I look at their spring game. I saw an offensive line that really struggled against just kind of a base pass rush, right? I saw quarterbacks that looked like they were under duress pretty much the entire time. They don't name a starting quarterback coming out of spring. And then you're seeing, have y'all seen the reports? Now, I didn't get to dive into this for the show because I'm scatterbrained and I forgot. But, like, there's now rumors being put out there. They spent around $34 million kind of retooling the entirety of their football program when it's all said and done. That's a lot of investment riding on that position's shoulders. Where are you at with Ohio State after what they put on display in their own spring game?
Well, I saw the numbers, the $34 million, too, and I broke it down. I was like, okay, well, that's what a lot of schools are spending nowadays. Like, they spent like $13 million NIL. That's not some exorbitant amount. There's plenty of schools that are upwards of 10, 12, 13 in some cases. And they looked at the $10 million on assistant coach salary pool. It's like, yeah, that's about right. Then $10 million for head coach, that's about right. So I don't think like 34, it's eye-opening for sure. But I don't think that's that much.
It's
more
a little headline grabby. I mean, okay, to be fair, I didn't realize you were taking coaches' salaries in there because
exactly. Like LSU, I did the same thing you did. Like I clicked on, I was like, no way, 34. I'm thinking NIL. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
me
there's
too.
No way they spent 34.
What are these quarterbacks making? Holy
yeah,
shit.
Exactly. So yeah, I did the exact same thing you did. So when you break it down, though, it's like, all right, that's about right.
Okay, but to the quarterback play there with Ohio State, how do we feel about that position right now?
One, I thought Kyle McCord was unfairly characterized last year as a guy that couldn't do it. Doesn't mean that he wasn't potentially going to get replaced. I don't think Ryan Day is in the business of making assurances. Why would you? Yep. That was a quarterback battle between him and Devin Brown even throughout the season at times last year. I mean, Devin Brown got a long look, and Kyle McCord just proved to be the safer option. I think the quarterback position is, one, it's going to be Will Howard. I'd be highly surprised if it wasn't.
Okay.
I think he looked really solid. I think he's been very solid in his career. I think he's got more mobility than people realize. But I'd be surprised, too, if this isn't an offense that transforms a bit. I just know Chip Kelly. And I know that Chip Kelly has maybe the most creative run scheme in the sport. And if he's not at number one, he's at no worse than three. With just how they have one side of the offensive line is running one play, the right side of the offensive line is running the left. It's like, it's mind blowing. And it's awesome to watch. It's a fun study for anybody that has an interest. So I think this is going to be a run first football team. And that's only going to help their defense a little bit more. And I think the defense has a chance to be super elite with all the pieces back. I mean, they bring back 10 out of 14 players that played 300 plus snaps for him last year on defense. Not included is Caleb Downs. Who might be pound for pound, maybe the best player in the sport, even though he plays safety, which, you know, is not necessarily a super premier position. It's still one that can certainly make a huge impact. So I expect it to be Will Howard. I know they love their freshmen, but, you know, enough to shoulder the load of national championship expectations. We saw Trevor Lawrence do it, but he's the only one. I at least only one in my lifetime as a true freshman that went the distance. So I think that it's going to be Will Howard, and he's going to be kind of the decision maker and the executive back there at quarterback. But it's really going to run through both running backs. And while the offensive line is a position of concern, I think they're probably better in the run game than they are in the pass game. The problem is running it in the Big Ten is no easy task. Those teams, for the most part, across the board, are all great against the run. So it's going to be fascinating to watch. But I think it'll be Will Howard. And I think Ohio State, as far as how they look and their balance, is going to look quite a bit different than what it's been in the past.
Yeah. I want to get back to the SEC real quick. I want to get into your state. We talked a lot about Alabama. Obviously, Cole and you, I'm sure, talk a lot about Auburn and the practices and the games and heading up this program. Yeah, reluctantly. Were you or Cole surprised that there wasn't a quarterback added to that roster in the first go-around? And do you anticipate maybe them going and getting some more depth or competition at the quarterback spot? Or is it Payne Thorne's our guy that we're 100% sold on him?
I think Payton Thorne is solid. I don't think Payton Thorne's a guy that's going to take over the game and just, you know, elevate. But I also think back too, I mean, you think about Hugh Freeze's quarterbacks when he was at Ole Miss. It's not like he had freak shows at the position, you know? I mean, I know Chad Kelly had some God-given talent, but was far from being just, you know, a Cam Newton, Vince Young monster, like can't defend the guy. I look at Bo Wallace before that. I mean, he wants guys that are sharp in the RPO game. Mm-hmm. They're going to get the ball out on time, even though Payton Thorne struggled at times with that last year. But I also think, too, when you look at Auburn, man, to me, like you can't play quarterback by yourself. And while the offensive line had some positive moments last year and the run game had some positive moments, I thought the receivers were largely underwhelming.
Yes.
So I think they're giving Payton the benefit of the doubt in knowing, man, our personnel on the perimeter last year was just not good. And now that we've probably enhanced that position drastically, he's going to be much better suited to have a very productive year. So I think they have plenty of confidence in him as far as adding depth to that position. Maybe a proven veteran be valuable, but I don't think Payton Thorne's in a position to be looking over his shoulder. I think they like their young guys too. I think it's still very much, you know, 2 through 4 is very much up in the air. Mm-hmm. But you've heard a lot of positives about Gurner. You know, you obviously have the hotshot recruit in White, and the other guy or whatnot that they all feel real good about. So I'm not that surprised. And honestly, like, tell me this, outside of a Dylan Gabriel,
or
some of the other guys that entered the portal, it's not like there was this slam dunk quarterback prospect that's like, oh yeah, bring him in, he's a plug and play. Like, is DJ Uiagalelei that guy? Mm-hmm. Is Grayson McCall that guy?
I thought he may go after the kid that was at his previous at Liberty. Wasn't he in the portal for a little bit possibly? Or weren't there's rumors?
He has a credible number. Caden Salter. Caden Salter.
I think he might have popped in. I can't recall. You know, the kid at UNLV, Jordan Mayava, that ended up at SC. You know, he was a guy that a lot of people wanted a piece of. Will Howard, I mean, that you're never going to get in the Derby there. And then I'm trying to think, Brock Vandegrift. I mean, like, these are the guys that were under consideration potentially as far as adding a guy. And like, how many of those guys, like, without question, are an upgrade over Payton Thorne? Yeah. Like, a lot have question marks, like Malik Murphy from Texas, who everyone wanted last year. He ended up at Duke, but is he a bona fide? Max Johnson, who ended up in North Carolina, is he a bona fide? Like, these are not, it's not like there was that sure fire guy in the portal that's like, all right, this guy's a notable upgrade over what we have. True. You had a lot of guys that moved, but a lot of guys that also had question marks. And the two that didn't are probably Will Howard at Ohio State and Dylan Gabriel, who's at Oregon. And those guys were basically going there before you even had a chance at it.
Yeah. For what it's worth, a quick Google search says Caden Salter entered, but then pulled out a day later. So, you know, just pay me.
Hey, Liberty's got some money. Liberty got some money. They can pay now.
They probably have that non-taxable income through some sort of church or loophole or something, maybe along those lines. Greg, help. Here's a topic we've been playing with lately, and we'll get you out of here. Hell no, I'm not going to do that. No. Okay. Greg has an actual job. I'm not going to ask him any degenerate questions, guys. Relax. Okay, you look at the SEC right now. Let's say in theory there's 3 playoff spots available, right?
Yeah.
Maybe 4. I'm slotting in UGA and Bama. We, and for this question, we'll slot in UGA and Bama.
One spot left. LSU, Mizzou, Ole Miss, Tennessee, Texas. Like, there's not a lot of oxygen in the room, but there's a lot of teams that think that they should be that team. How are you scoring it here exiting spring?
Texas, okay. As of right now. It'd be a close call over Ole Miss, but I'd go Texas. I think Texas, if they can just figure out the defensive line, and I don't like hearing reports about Texas gashing their defense in their scrimmages. Like, that makes me a little uncomfortable. You never heard that last year at any point. It's just, hey, running through these guys is like running through a brick wall. Like, it ain't happening. Good luck. So that is of concern, but I also look at what they bring back along the offensive line. I think the additions they made in the portal at wide receiver are significant. I think Silas Molden from Oregon State is going to be legit. That dude can go. He's going to be a great player. I know Isaiah Bond has had some real positive moments since transferring over at Alabama. Nyblack's a handful as far as matchups are concerned. So I think they're in a really good spot with what they've done in the portal. Defensively, they're going to be solid. A couple of their best defensive players in the back end were freshmen last year. I think they're only going to be better. So I think Texas is in a really good spot, assuming they could figure out the defensive line. And I'm not saying they have to be as good as last year. Mm-hmm. They just can't fall off a cliff. And I don't think they will, because they have some big bodies up there. It's just a matter of whether or not they're as disruptive as they were. And then Ole Miss, I look at Ole Miss and one, being out of the SEC West and getting rid of divisions is the most positive thing that could ever happen to Ole Miss football, because you've been in the shadows of Bama. You've been in the shadows of LSU. Now they're in a great spot when I don't know if they necessarily are going to get to the SEC championship game, but I think they can certainly grab an at-large playoff spot. So you look at some of the additions that they made. Juice Wells coming over from South Carolina, assuming he's healthy, he's going to be huge. Losing Quinshon Judkins is enormous, but it's a running back. You know, I think you can manage that with Ulysses Bentley and with Jackson Dart and what he contributes on the ground as well. And then defensively, more than anything else, I mean, some of the additions they've made defensively, Chris Paul, a linebacker, Amos, the corner, Walter Nolan, defensive tackle, Prince Umanmielen. Umanmielen from Florida, he's huge off the edge. So I think just the additions defensively are going to make them much more balanced. So those would be the I think the SEC is going to get four in, and those are the four at the top of the list for me right now. With Missouri, I look, Blake
Baker, schedule wise would be interesting with Missouri and their schedule.
Their schedule is gettable, but the problem is I think there's too much turnover defensively. Offense would be great. Defensively, there's a lot of turnover. And I look at LSU and I hear Brian Kelly talk about, hey, we need defensive tackles. That's not good.
No. And they, Greg, right now, a guy rotating with the ones is a offensive lineman that just switched over a month ago.
Yeah, that's the thing that scares me to death, man. Like, all right, you got holes in the secondary. It's not great, but hopefully that can be overcome, perhaps, if you have pass rush, whatever. But, man, I'm worried about D-line. And Brian Kelly's been very outspoken about it, like almost recruiting during their spring game. Like, hey, yeah, we need D-linemen. If you're listening, come on down. Like, we'll get you taken care of. So that is not a position that you want to be that's not a position that you want to have as a liability heading into this year. And just looking at the defense last year, I think Blake Baker will do good things in time, but I just don't think it's going to be overnight. I think it might take a year and they're going to give up some big plays, but in time they're going to be really good. It just might take a little more time than LSU fans might like to see.
So T-Bob was starting a fund to get Bear Alexander from USC. That's when the rumor started, because he heard about this fund. And T-Bob just—he's not as. If he was top five in the state, the rumor was they would have gotten enough funds, but they just couldn't get it done. So you know, he's decided to stay at USC.
You look like a fucking real estate agent.
Fuck off! All right, last one from you. I got to hit one more quarterback before we let you go. I'm really excited about Nico at Tennessee. I think they got some good weapons. I think they got a good offensive line. I think he's obviously an upgrade from what they had last year with the potential. Am I a little bit too high on a first-year starting quarterback?
I mean, but it feels like he's been, you know, anointed the savior for a while now, you know? And if you look statistically at what they were last year, they were close in a lot of ways. I think I saw from 2022 to 2023, they dropped 78 yards a game offensively. They went from number one in college football to like 19. And then if you look at the 78 yards they dropped, they actually dropped 83 yards a game throwing the football. So like, that's pretty mind blowing, you know, to see a team that where basically all of their offensive production that dropped was in one area.
Yeah. And
while Joe Milton can throw the ball a country mile, that's great. Mm-hmm. It often, you know, was not going to be where you wanted it to be. It wasn't going to be catchable in some cases. So, while he was a little hot and cold, I think Nico, what I've been impressed with, and is a guy that's that long at 6'6", like he's got twitch. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like he can, like he doesn't, he's not a long strider. He's not like a lumbering guy. Like he's got some twitch and some agility that I just didn't anticipate. But yeah, I think he's going to be the real deal. I mean, you listen to people that have seen him throw, like I've not seen him throw up close outside of a warm-up. So it's hard for me to get a real gauge. But it's impressive in warmups. Yeah. I mean, Joe Milton was impressive in warmups too. But when the bullets started flying, Joe Milton wasn't able to kind of harness in that raw power. Yeah. I think Nico has a little more savvy to him. And while it might not be Hendon Hooker level of efficiency, the talent is there for sure.
Are we sleeping on Tennessee as a contender? I mean, T-Bob named his like six. I could make it.
I had Tennessee in there. No, I had Tennessee in there. Yeah, okay. They were in there.
Very favorable schedule. I mean, are they that far off?
I think it hinges on two games, the NC State game and the Oklahoma game.
Yep.
Now, I think if you ask Tennessee fans, are like, oh, Oklahoma, you know, piece of cake. I don't see it that way. I think Oklahoma's going to be a little bit better suited to adjust to the SEC than people think. I think they're lying in the weeds and they're exactly where they want to be. I think Oklahoma's well coached. I love the hire that they made at offensive coordinator in Seth Luttrell. I think that guy's a dude. So big fan of his. I think Jackson Arnold, assuming, you know, the turnover woes that he had in the bowl game are not something that's part of his game. They're going to be in good shape. So I think that game is really the hitch. I mean, if they can go 10-2, they're large likely going to be bound for the playoff.
Yep.
I think those are the two games that are real tricky. Can you get Bam at home? Can you get Georgia? Those are big question marks. I'd probably say TBD. I mean, probably like I'd take Bam and Georgia right now. I would also look at those other two games. Like no one thinks NC State's any good. I promise you they are. They're legit. And then I think Oklahoma, those are the hinge games. They win those two. And they win two of the four that I just listed. They could be playoff bound. They, you know, win one of the four, probably on the outside looking in.
Yeah.
Greg McElroy, host of the Mac Cube Show, ESPN College Football, all over the place. Is it? I've been saying Iamaliava. Is it Iamaliava?
Iamaliava.
Okay, so it is Iamaliava. It's slightly Iamaliava, different. Yeah. Okay, there we go. That's why we needed you. It's actually why we did
it
this.
It took
interview.
Me like hours upon hours to figure it out. So I've butchered it for 2 years, but I've got it down now.
Okay, Iamaliava. Well, thank you so much, Greg. Super valuable insight as always. Give Cole our love as well. Give the family our love. Kiss that baby, and you have a great day, sir.
All right, thanks, guys. See y'all.
Appreciate
soon.
Greg.
All right, Greg McElroy, the legend. You can just leave whenever you want. It's all good. We'll end the show.
I couldn't with the chat the whole time. I wanted to bust out laughing.
I mean, first we had Chris Williams in the chat, and he's talking about how, like, watch out for Peyton Thorne at the Heisman ceremony. Then everybody's yelling, ask Greg where he finishes.
I thought you were, I was like, I swear you're going there. I was like, holy shit, he's going to do it. He's going there. Dude. He's going to do it.
No.
He's going to make Greg so uncomfortable.
Greg was great, though. Really, truly, like, again, very sharp stuff there. There's a reason why him and Cole are so successful. Aaron, a couple of stories to end out today's show. And by the way, we're not going to be live tomorrow, but we are going to have a special video we're going to record right after this that'll drop tomorrow. A Mario Cristofraud special as my God, it came out today that Mario Cristobal got paid over $20 million by Miami in one fiscal year. So while maybe not legally committing financial fraud, it's, you know, it kind of feels like he is.
Aaron, speaking of finances, does the name Bonnie Blue mean anything to you?
Bonnie Blue. No, it does not.
Bonnie Blue, and I forgot what her partner in crime's name was. These are a couple of OnlyFans stars. Oh, did you see any of this story?
No.
So they went to Cancun with a goal. Okay. They wanted to go down there for 3 weeks for spring break, and she wanted to make at least $200,000 by sleeping on camera with over 100 college students. Mm. Well, 3 weeks later, our girl Bonnie made a cool 250K while sleeping with 122 college students. How about it, dude?
God, if OnlyFans was available when I was in school, I would have made that kind of money too.
They said they had a queue waiting in the hotel to get into the room. People banging on the door.
Was there a time limit?
I guess. I don't know. I mean, look, if you're getting through 122 in 3 weeks, I imagine you're pretty good. Sword. And these are also college boys. College boys, maybe not known for their stamina, I would say. So shout out to Bonnie Blue getting it done.
What does she look like?
You know, she's attractive, obviously.
For my sure. wife's gonna go my Google search. Wife's gonna go my Google search. She'd be like, "Why are you looking at Bonnie Blue?"
Yeah, no, nothing would get me divorced faster than if my wife found a found an OnlyFans charge on our credit card statement. 122. How funny is that? Can you imagine being some of the boys in the line though?
But towards like, the end,
oh, dude, I'm so psyched, dude. I'm so psyched.
You imagine being the 122nd one. Ooh.
Well, that's actually better than being like 110, right? Because if you're the literal last one, she's probably going to be really into it, right? It's like the last segment of a radio. Yeah, because like anytime you're doing the last of your work, you don't get like a little juice. You know what I'm saying? It's the middle.
Do you think she just said like, okay, at 121, okay, guys, I can't do anymore. Like one more and I'm done?
That's what I'm saying.
Or just like that was the end of the line.
I feel like the grind comes in about boy 80, right? That's when you're like, fuck, dude, am I built for this? Like, can I keep going? Like 122 is like the final segment of practice, right? You can get a little juice for the last sprint. You can get a little juice for the last couple plays. Like when it's period 13,
finish the drill,
and I know I got a fucking hour and a half left with Les Miles doing full contact team periods.
Yeah, true.
Like that's what I'm feeling.
It's the last sprint of Matt drills. You know, you just one more get through it. Yeah,
just go for it.
Yeah,
just do it. How about that though, dude? God, you had to be sore, huh? Like just off a physical challenge level. So that is insane.
I'm guessing each boy had to consent to being videoed and taped.
I'm a little unclear as to how the video working, but I feel like I've seen screenshots of at least some being filmed. But yeah, I would guess that was part of the price is you're signing over any you're signing over any
would you
like you're probably signing a document to write. Oh no. Not to be clear. I am not someone who has actually a moral or ethical problem with this. Like, you know what? Everybody live their life. If this is what you want to do, do that money. For sure. I got no problem with it. I don't want to be on camera having sex. Mm. Even though I feel like I look really good right now, I feel more confident in my body than I ever have. I still don't. Mm. I don't. Like that's written in virtual stone. Now, as a dumb college kid, maybe I would have been like, "Yeah, let's talk, whatever." But like, what's gonna happen when you're like 40 or something, and somebody's digging that up? And I don't know. That's a little tough.
So I have this is common, not common knowledge, but it's out there. So might as well just get into it. I did have a picture that got out on spring break of me participating in activities.
That's the first picture I ever saw of you.
Really.
That made
okay.
We weren't sure if that was my friend's girlfriend that we were always
nothing worse than getting a call from Mark Rick the next morning because I had no idea that it was out. No idea. I woke up to a missed call from my mom, dad, multiple missed calls from mom, dad, Mark Rick. I was like, "What the hell happened?" And you know, I called CMR first.
Like, that's such a bad feeling. That's such a bad feeling. I was like, "What's up, coach?" Dude.
And he's like, just won't let you know, Aaron,
there's a very inappropriate picture of you on the internet right now. I was like, oh, is there? Like, okay, let me check this out. And I'm like, oh, shit, there is.
Oh, and you thought Matt Stafford lifting the keg over his head was a scandal. If you haven't seen the picture, Aaron, it literally looks like when you take a picture of a raccoon diving in your dumpster. It's like grainy because of the lights. His eyes are like super big and reflective. And he's kind of got this like,
I don't know who's more. I think Coach Rick was more disappointed. Like, my mom knew. Like, I've told my mom, like, I'm not Tim Tebow. So, like, I'm going to enjoy being QB1.
For those that don't listen to Snaps, Aaron's mom knew he was in love with a high school stripper or with a stripper in high school.
Yes.
And so basically just told him to walk himself.
Fine with it. My mom was really pissed off at the person who took the picture.
Yeah, for sure.
I think like Coach Rick was like, you know,
why are you having premarital sex?
Yeah. Like, do we need to talk about this?
You're like, no, coach, I'm the starting quarterback in Athens. Like, what do you expect from me? My other thought of the day to close out the show, everyone needs to back off my nipples, okay? I have pointy nipples. This is just true. They're not especially large, which I'm thankful for, right? Like, they're not like big round, but they are very pointy. They might be a bit hard to see on this camera, but they tend to poke out. Mm-hmm. And the other day, I'm coaching soccer, a little six-year-old soccer, which, by the way, we sucked last year. We lost every game by 20. We got our ass kicked. We're 3-0 and we're beating kids' asses. And I got other teams complaining to me that we're too physical. You know what?
I love that.
Fuck all y'all. Okay. Mm-hmm. Nah, we didn't come here to mess around. Okay. If my girls push your girls over, so be it. Tell your girls to push back. Anyway, I'm sitting there coaching. And one of the girls is like, Mr. T-Bob, your shirt's weird. I can see your nipples.
Oh,
I'm like, oh, what the fuck, dude? And then today I'm getting my hair cut and my barber, which we're playing out the fuckboy fade with. Oh, he texts me afterwards. Are your shirts like the bat suit? Do they just have nipples built in? Look, everybody relax. Okay. I used to be, you're lucky that I'm not insecure about this anymore. I used to be very insecure about my nipples in high school. I spent all of junior high hating how they would poke through my shirt. Okay. But I finally accepted it. And then here out of nowhere,
chest flies.
Springtime at 35.
Chest flies.
No, my chest feels great. I got less actual tit than I've ever had on my body. It's just, I got pointy nips. Just is what it is.
You should do like the little nip cups. Like my wife wears them all the time. Like you just plop them on there.
I don't want to. I want to own my nipples.
My son will grab those and put it on his forehead, start walking around the house. I'm like,
well, it's impossible not to. They look like little chicken cutlets. You just want to play with
buddy,
them.
Please take that off your forehead. What are we doing?
It's
like, Dad, I got a boob on my head. I was like, that boy.
Oh, yeah. And that's the other thing. My youngest, my little 1.5-year-old boy, he pinches the fucks out of my nipples. Like, constantly. Every time I'm grabbing him, he doesn't even do it to my wife. I'm like, what the hell, dude?
Does I'm milking that?
Does feel kind of good though. Anyway, like it. Just back off my nipples, guys. Okay. I don't need anybody to tell me anything more about them. No, they don't spray, Nick, if you squeeze them. Thank you. I don't have mammary glands. Okay. No,
if they got tits, you can milk it.
No, it's nipples. It's nipples. Could you milk me, Greg? I have nipples, Greg. Yeah.
For real time before we end, what do you think Greg would have said?
Finishing?
Yeah.
Where does Greg McElroy?
Do you think you would have answered?
Greg does not strike me as a big masturbator, first off. I don't think he would have answered. And I think that would have put him in a really tough spot. Because we'd have been like the assholes who were like, oh, he's not the cool guy. He's not willing to be like weird with this. And the audience go, like, what the hell, Greg? When really, no, he's just a professional with a family that doesn't want his madness exposed, maybe in the same way that I do. But look, Greg is he strikes me as a deeply responsible person. And so I imagine his finishing would be in the same way, right? It's like fully planned out before. Maybe it's like directly into a toilet. Maybe it's directly into like a towel that gets regularly washed, but is only used for that. I feel like there's more of a cleanup plan in play than with me.
T-Bob over here just eating Cheetos, just wiping his belly off.
Wet belly. Hashtag wet belly. Hashtag wet belly boys. Let me know if you want to join the club. Wet belly boys. Oh, wow. Men have mammary glands per Google.
Oh,
John Doman. Okay, I didn't know that, dude. I didn't know that. That's what's up. All right. Well, that'll do it for today's show. Again, not live tomorrow. We will have a video going up. Huge thank you. Great audience again today. We're loving the momentum, guys. 15.1 on the subs.
CFB into our name, you know, up the algorithm for,
it's
been a good week.
I still feel old as fuck, though. I'm still learning. Like, today I tried to tweet out the link, but I didn't put an @ before it. And even though the @'s not in our name, apparently you have to do that. I don't know. But all the wet belly boys, hit the like button. Sub to the channel. You know what? Even if you're not a wet belly boy, boom, all there. So let me get this right. T-Bob has great nipples, but will not be doing porn. Yeah, I know. I know. I'm gonna hide these things under a bushel, or at least as much as they can be hidden. You know what, though? I like when people's nipples poke out their shirt, you know, male or female. I've never seen it and been like, I'm upset that I saw that. So whatever. Von Bluesman, Aaron, what's your handicap?
It is 7-6.
What is that?
7.6.
What is that? Okay, so like, so you're consistently finishing 7.6 over par?
Yeah.
Damn, bro. That is really good. Holy shit. I hope we get to go golfing together one day.
One day. Snaps tournament. We get to like 50K, we'll do a Snaps golf tournament somewhere.
Oh, if we get to 50K, we'll be rocking and rolling, dude. We'll be insufferable. Mm-hmm. 15.1, though. Okay. Yeah. There we go. We're there, baby. Let's get to 15-2 next. We love you so much. We will see you tomorrow. This may be our last live show till Monday. Again, everything's kind of freewheeling right now as we figure out things. So if that is the case, we love you and we'll see you Monday. If not, maybe we'll see you before. But keep it locked. Share the channel with your friends. Help out, y'all. Like, subscribe, all that annoying stuff that people are always asking for. We love you, and we will see you next time on Snaps.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.